Hey, friends, and welcome back to Building a Life You Love. This is your host, Kristen. Today, I am going to share an episode with you that just released today on Faith-Fueled Woman. So let me share with you what that's about. So on today's episode, I have a guest. I have a doctor who practices lifestyle medicine. And we are going to talk about what are the six pillars of health that we need to focus on so that we can live a happy and healthy life. So I can't wait to share it with you because she shares her own journey of struggling with her weight as a youth and then how she's gone plant-based and done other things to improve her health and now help people with that as well.
Have you ever imagined building a life you love but got stuck in between the what-ifs, expectations, and obligations in your life? Welcome to Building a Life You Love, the podcast dedicated to helping you step into a life where your passion blossoms from within, your faith deepens, and simplicity becomes your favorite synonym for everyday life. Hi, I'm your host, Kristen, an encourager, a faith-led entrepreneur, a mom, and a wife. Join me each week as we dive into creating positive habits, stepping out of your comfort zone, making space for meaningful work and relationships. I'm going to bring you practical tips, uplifting conversations, and expert guidance that you can use. So why wait? Step off the path of expectations and into a space that feels genuinely yours. Subscribe now to Building a Life You Love, and let's begin this transformative journey together towards joy, peace, and purpose. Hi, today on the podcast, I would like to welcome our guest, Dr. Amanda Adkins. She's a board-certified internal medicine and lifestyle medicine physician, and she's a health coach, and she's also the owner of Enlightenment Health and Wellness. And what I love is she has a deep passion for ensuring that everyone has a chance at a happy and healthy life. Her most recent focus has been to help women who are overweight to prevent and possibly reverse chronic illnesses such as diabetes, heart disease, and high blood pressure. Both through her medical and professional experience, she knows how our lifestyle can lead to remarkable changes in our health and our ability to fulfill God's will for our lives. And you guys, I'm so excited for the conversation because as I mentioned in her bio, she both personally has walked through this health journey. And of course, as a doctor, she's now been helping people in this way. And then also she ties in, you know, basically our faith with changing our lifestyle and diet. So I love it. And we're going to talk also about eating more of a plant-based diet. So I can't wait. So Dr. Amanda, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to talk with you today.
Me too. There is not a more exciting place for me to talk about with other than the intersection of health and wellness and faith. So I just love it. So Yes. What can you tell us about your backstory, your journey, and then what you're up to now?
Yes. So I tell people this is a long story. So I try not to just go on and on and on about what went on. But my personal health journey started back when I was a freshman in high school. And I had to do what they call the Presidential Physical Fitness Test. And this was Indiana in the 90s. So if anyone that was around in high school in that time, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And so one of the things we had to do was actually step on the scale because they wanted to know our weight and our BMI and everything of that nature. And so I remember stepping on the scale and weighing 199 pounds as a 13, 14 year old girl. And it was just like so eye opening to me at the time because I don't think that if it was like already over 200 pounds or if it was like 195, then I probably wouldn't have been so like, oh my gosh. But because it was right there on that verge point for me, it was just like I have to start doing something different. So I was the person that just, you know, loved to read, and I just sit down and just hardly do any type of activity. So I first started exercising, and so I said, okay, I have to definitely start moving around more and doing what I could. I would save my lunch money and buy those different gadgets, so infomercials back in the day, the ab roller, the Thigh Master, those types of things. Cause I was just like, I just have to do something. And so I was pretty successful at losing some weight. And then when I became a junior in high school at 16, I decided to become a vegetarian. And again, in the 90s, Indiana, that was not a thing. It wasn't like nowadays where people are like, okay, yeah, there's so much food to eat that you can do that. And the funny part about it is that my father was a meat delivery truck driver at the time. So he would have, you know, hot dogs, bologna, sausage, bacon. And I just one day said, no, I'm not going to eat that anymore. And they're just like, well, I don't know what you're going to eat, you know. So I did not know anything about plant-based eating at the time or anything that I was doing. I was just like, I'm just trying to lose weight. I'm trying to be healthy. I did not want the diseases that ran in my family because we always had family reunions and I would see you know, just people becoming overweight and obese, having heart disease, having open heart surgery, you know, developing cancers. And I was like, this is going to be me if I don't change something. So I was like, I have to continue to do something different. And so I was just trying different things. It was just like, you know, here, try a little bit of this, try a little bit of that. But then now where I am, I'm just like, okay, looking back on that journey, it was like God was preparing me to actually step into this role. Because I hear a lot of patients today say, you know, I never heard a doctor talk about, you know, plant-based eating or stop eating meat or exercise, all these types of things. Like they just may have something in general. That's why I definitely interweave my faith, because I grew up in a church, you know, Christian, and still very devoted to what God has for me. And so I was just like, it's just amazing because, you know, never would I have thought that I would be out here talking, because like I already said, I'm, you know, a person that's, you know, shy, introvert, even now still nervous to talk, but just like I said, know that God had something in store for me to actually come out and help his people, that's what I'm here to do. So I never ate meat from the age of 16 until now. So just the vegetarianism continued on throughout my schooling, medical school, residency. And then after I finished residency, I actually went to a nutrition conference, and one of my patients actually told me about Dr. Joel Fuhrman, who is very big in the lifestyle medicine, plant-based eating space. And he was actually following him and was telling me about it. He was like, Doc, you got to, you know, look at his stuff. It's very good. And so I really think that patient, he was like a healthy, like 70-year-old, you know, outrunning me and everything at the time. So I was like, I have to listen to him. And so I learned more about nutrition and plant-based eating because of that, going to that nutrition conference and learning that you cannot out-exercise a bad diet, which has been a staple for me, just learning that. So whenever I think of something and hear somebody say, well, I'll just exercise later, you know, I was like, oh, that's not the case. And so just learning more. And then patients start asking me, they're like, I'm tired of these medications. I'm tired of the side effects. I don't want to be on these medications forever. What else can I do? And so I was like, well, you know, this is what I've been doing. You know, if you want to try that, you can do that. And then I learned about lifestyle medicine. So lifestyle medicine is actually a relatively new specialty that came out like in 2014. And I had already been practicing since 2009. So I was out there for 5 years, just kind of dabbling in different things. And then I learned about lifestyle medicine around 2018, and then became board certified a few years later once I learned more and more and how to actually get the science and things behind it. So it's now it's like it's all meant to be. And so I can't do anything but interweave my faith with it, because I'm like, there's no way that story would ever, you know, come about from, you know, a little girl that was, you know, eating, you know, all sorts of processed meats to becoming a vegetarian to now out here talking about chronic illnesses and how our lifestyle actually makes a huge impact on that, and actually living out what our purpose is for God and actually to help his people and to, you know, build things for the kingdom. So,
oh my gosh, I love it. And I love that you know, yeah, your whole story, and like you said, how he wove it all together, you know, he was preparing you. But I also love that, you know, obviously in the medical field, you know, as so many doctors, right, in medical school, they're not really educated a lot on the nutrition side of things. Unfortunately, I hope that will change. A lot more doctors now are now adding in a holistic element, or right, the functional medicine piece, which I love. And I know we're all excited about that are more interested in this space. But I love and commend that you're doing that you're tying both medicine and then how you can actually help people be proactive, right, and be healthy. Yeah. Before we have the problems, or obviously if we have the problems, how can we reverse some of that? And so first of all, thank you for that work, because it's so important. And, you know, most of us need to be educated, right, in some areas. And so our doctor is who we go to, you know, or someone that's helping us with these things. And so the fact that you're doing lifestyle medicine, that's just fantastic. I love it.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Okay. So start us off with telling us, what is the biggest challenge you're seeing with your patients, you know, or even just data you're seeing in where are we getting stuck? Where are we getting caught up in not being as healthy, you know, in our lifestyle, our diet, our stress, whatever it is? So what can you just share with us about that?
So most of the time, it's just the way that the U.S. is, the environment of, you know, how food is marketed to us, and what we have to rethink of what food actually is. So a lot of people tell me, well, you know, my grandparents grew up eating like this and I don't understand why I'm having these issues. I'm like, no, the food that your grandparents ate is not the food we're getting today. So let's take a look at that. And then the things that they're actually selling as food, it's like, it's just machine processed, something that they chemically put together and our bodies is like, whoa, what is this? And so I think we just have to relook at that, like what really is food and what they're telling us food is. So that's why we really focus on whole food, plant-based eating. So I just tell people, don't try to get wrapped up in like, is this good? Is this not good? If you can recognize it as a food, then let's start there, adding in, you know, your fruits and vegetables and whole grains, because most of the time, we're fiber deficient in America because we're doing all the fast food. We're, you know, going down the chip aisle, you know, all sorts of things that's just not good. The ice cream and, you know, all the processed foods that we're eating, and it has no actual nutritional value. So if we just start by actually just adding fruits and vegetables to our plates, like they told us, you know, back when we were probably younger and, you know, my grandparents, like, you know, eat your vegetables and things like that we've really gotten away from, then we could actually, are, you know, miles down the road if we can just start back there. And so that's usually where I have people start. I don't tell them that they have to take away anything. Mm-hmm. I just like start to add color to your plate, add all these things, and you will start to feel better. And then you will be motivated to do more after that. But until we actually realize that we're not eating real food, then it's kind of hard to go past that point.
Absolutely. And I think you're right. I mean, even I have one son in high school and two college age sons. And when they were younger, they ate decent. We'll just say decent, right? Because, you know, you can try your best if they don't always do what you want. But I have to tell you, recently, it's like they're eating worse. And I keep trying to educate them on more things, you know, like, no, this is not a good choice. This is why, you know, but they're that age and they don't really want to listen to mom. But the honest truth is most of, you know, or at least a large percentage of us don't actually read labels. Or if we look at the label, we don't really understand what it means. But the honest truth is, if you can't read all the ingredients, or the ingredient list is either no ingredients because it's a fresh fruit or vegetable, even that bread from the grocery store has 20 ingredients in it. But if you made it at home, it has 3 ingredients in it.
Right.
So we don't. So that's where there's a disconnect, right? Of back in the day, our grandparents or great grandparents were probably making everything from scratch, even if it wasn't a fruit or vegetable, right? Like the bread, or and so we are, and then soil's losing all the nutrients. So that's great. Absolutely. Adding more fruits and vegetables. So let's stay on that for a minute. And let me ask you this. Some people are going to say, I just don't like them. So what would you say? Because I know I love fruits and vegetables, but I have to work on adding more in. And I do great some weeks and not as great other weeks.
Yes. And first I tell people that's definitely likely. Like, you just have to give yourself grace. You're not going to be perfect all the time. Yeah. So let's just start there. But when someone tells you they don't like, you know, fruits and vegetables, I'm like, have you tried them all?
Right.
But most of the time, that is not the case. Have you tried to cook them or prepare them in different ways? Mm-hmm. No, you have not. So I try to, you know, break that down immediately, because I was like, I was the same way. Like, I tell people I was a junk food vegetarian. I was like, I didn't know what I was doing. So a Big Mac with no meat was, you know, one of my meals, you know, so that's the thing. But one of my foods that I hated when I was younger was Brussels sprouts. And that's like my number one favorite food now.
Yeah.
And it's because of the way it's prepared. You just have to do different ways that your taste buds would like. And I can't tell you how to make it, because what I like is going to be different than you. Mm-hmm. And then as we're eating these fresh fruits and vegetables, and not the foods that are like hyper palatable, that have a lot of salt, a lot of sugar, a lot of fat added to it, then our taste buds actually change, and you actually start to taste the fruit and the vegetable and the whole grain and whatever you're eating for what it is. And you're like, oh, that's not really that bad. And I've had people change in just like as little as 3 or 4 days. They like get rid of all that processed food and just start adding in more. And they're like, okay, I can do this. It's because our taste buds have changed, and you just figure out like you don't like them. And if you truly don't like, you know, one of them, then of course you don't have to eat it. But then try something new. And then try to prepare it in several different ways. Just like, I'm not a pediatrician, but pediatricians tell us, you know, like we have to introduce foods to our children, you know, several times before they're like, I'll actually eat it. And now being a mom myself, when I was first starting to feed her, you know, solid foods, it's just like, she was like, oh no, because it's just different. They didn't know. And so that's the same thing we have to do as adults, is just, you know, try something new, try it in different ways. Have someone else that, you know, knows how to prepare it for you, and just see if you like it, because you'll be surprised of different things that you actually like that you didn't think you did in the past.
Absolutely. And it's so true. I mean, there's literally many more than 100 different recipes for any vegetable, how you prepare it or what you combine it with. And that's one of the things I do all the time, is I just ask, first of all, I follow people online that have really great recipes, you know, healthy recipes, and I just save them. So when I have time, I can come back and I can try that new recipe. Or I ask my friends, hey, have you found any really good recipes lately? You know, like a really great salad recipe, or, you know, I just made one with cabbage and fennel and apple and all this stuff. And it's delicious. You wouldn't think it is if you listen to the ingredient list, but all together, it's delicious, you know? And so, but until I tried it, I wouldn't know if I liked it, you know?
Exactly.
So
exactly.
You have to be willing to experiment and be curious with your food.
Exactly. That is so true. And I tell people, I am not a chef, and I do the same thing like you, like people that like to put those different things together, because it is actually a science of putting different flavors together to make them taste good. I don't have that skill. So I like definitely depend on others to get that. And it does open your mind. You're like, oh, wow, I didn't know that tastes so good. I definitely can try that at home now.
Absolutely. So, okay. So obviously we start with our fruits and vegetables, and just understanding, start being more aware that in the grocery store, as they say, the perimeter typically, but especially the fruit and vegetable section, is the healthiest, right? It's from, you know, it's from its original state, or it's still in its original state. But what else do we start working on so that we can have a healthy and happy life? And hopefully, you know, we can reverse some of these issues we're having in our health, or we can prevent them if we don't have them yet.
Yes, yes. So that's the one thing I love about lifestyle medicine, is that it does not just focus on one thing. We actually have 6 different pillars that actually we focus on for the whole person. I usually talk mostly about nutrition, because that's what people have the most problems with. But exercise, like I said, is very key. So if you have your nutrition down, exercising will be the next thing. And we don't usually move around as much. Like today, we're on a Zoom meeting, but we're going to get up and move around after this, right?
Right.
And they say sitting is the new smoking. We are always sitting down. We're always doing something. So the more you can get up and move around, those 10,000 steps, definitely we want to try to get in every day. That's being physically active. But we also want to do things that get our heart rate up. So not just saying, I walk a lot at work or anything like that. That's good. That's better than sitting down all day. But you have to do something that gets your heart rate up. So that 150 minutes per week of moderate to vigorous exercising. So that's a brisk walk. That's, you know, jogging. That's playing doubles tennis. That's like raking your leaves, something like that. Gardening, even, like if you're really pulling weeds and things like that. So you can find something that you like to do. Dancing, you know, playing with your kids, something that's going to keep you moving for that 150 minutes a week. And a lot of Americans, we don't get that in, that 150 minutes. And that's the minimum that you want to get in. Some people say they tell me they exercise 30 minutes 3 times a week. And I'm like, you know, that's okay, but we're not there. So we have to get past that 150 minutes to actually see benefits. And then we want to sleep. Oh my gosh. So many people do not get enough sleep. And we think as we get older, I'll just sleep less, or, you know, I'll burn the midnight oil. I have all these things to do. I have to get things done with work. My college kids, talk about college kids, they're like, oh, I have to stay up all nighter. No, you actually do better when you actually sleep your full 7 to 9 hours as adults. Your brain is more clear. You're actually going to do better on your exams or your, you know, your labs, things like that. And I actually found that to be true, because I was always a sleeper. I tried one time to do an all-nighter and I just couldn't function the next day.
Yep.
I was like, I want to go back to what I was doing. I can't, you know, listen to what other people are doing, but we definitely have to do that. We want to be, you know, very alert when we're actually doing things. So it actually helps our body repair itself. So decrease our risk for like cancers also when we actually sleep, and actually helps our body heal. It actually helps our blood sugar and blood pressure when we actually sleep well and actually get a good quality of sleep. So you definitely want to focus on that and try not to use sleep aids. You want to do things that are natural. Eating healthy, exercising helps with sleep. So it's not like these things are, you know, in buckets of their own. They actually, you know, intertwine. So we definitely want to do that. The next pillar would be stress reduction. And with stress, there's so many different ways. Because a Christian I am, I definitely intervene prayer and meditation and scripture reading. with all that. And you don't have to, you know, go to, you know, a secret closet or anything. You can do that throughout the day. You can do that while driving, you know, just praying and, you know, breathing, taking deep breaths throughout the day. I actually recently did a video talking about how laughter, even if you just start laughing just to make it up on your own, you're not laughing at anything or anyone. It actually reduces your stress hormones and actually can help you function better. Okay. So we definitely want to do that. What is the other one? Decreasing risky substances. So we don't want to be drinking a lot of alcohol or doing tobacco use and drugs and things of that nature, because that actually increases our risk for chronic illnesses and, you know, certain types of cancers. And then one of my favorite, which is the one I can tell people that I struggle with because I am an introvert, is social connection. How we miss that, especially with COVID, and how that came out so much more. And they actually done studies on this of how people that had, you know, strong social connections actually live longer. Yes. Because they have that, you know, good support system and out there. So if you don't have that, you know, circle of friends or someone like that you can depend on, not just social media, like, because those people on Facebook, you know, or Instagram or TikTok or whatever, you don't actually connect with them. You may like their stuff or things, but actually seeing each other in person, hugging them, you know, going on a nature walk, all those things actually help with our overall health. And all of them are important, and we need to be able to do all of them to actually have a good whole life. And so that's why I love lifestyle medicine, because if you do all those things, you know, it has to be happy and healthy. You know, it just makes me excited to talk about it, and just makes me smile just thinking about all those things, that how people can actually do so well in life, and how if there's someone that's not doing well, if you look at their life and their lifestyle, they're missing out on something that's there. And if you can really dig deep into that and actually find those things and focus on that one thing for that person, then it actually makes their life better. So if you don't mind, I can give an example of a lady that we were talking about her diabetes, and I was talking first about nutrition, and then she was talking about how stressful her life was. And I was like, okay, let's forget about the nutrition part. Let's talk about what we're going to do for your stress. Because if we don't get that right, the nutrition is not going to matter. And the next time she came back, she was just so happy that I was able to hear her and hear what her struggle was, and not just say, you know, just kind of blow it off, but just really hear her and hear her voice to know that she needed something different than just the routine things that we go through in a visit. And it makes a huge difference. And, you know, blood sugar is better because she actually was like, okay, I feel better. I'm less stressed. Now I can focus on eating and exercise because I don't have that, you know, that doom and gloom leaning over me all the time. So it just makes a difference to look at the whole person.
Absolutely. And I love that, you know, you're focusing on those six pillars, you know, with lifestyle medicine. And yeah, every one of the things you pretty much brought up. No, even the laughter, I think I saw one study that said people, maybe it was a study from Sweden, people live possibly 6 years longer if they're regularly engaging in laughter and humor than people that don't. And so every one of the things you said, right, are all signals of things where if we have those things in our life in healthy ways, that we live longer, right? And help, and we're able to do more, right? We're physically able to, as we get older, we're able to hopefully still garden still or walk and do all these things. If we do all these things now, right? If we incorporate that now, we will stay, our bodies will be healthier and our minds.
Yes. And that's what we need. So we get one body. And that's where I can really get Christian and Christian women to focus on. Like, we get one body. You can't wait till you're, you know, like in your 60s and 70s and 80s to say, oh, now I'll start doing this, because whatever you did in your 20s and 30s is now catching up with you, you know, in those decades of life. And so, I love talking to younger people because they're like, I can do it all. I can do it all. And I'm like, no, this body will take you through the rest of your life. So let's take care of it now. And just using different scriptures to actually really have people focus on that. It makes them look at it, life a little bit different, because they're like, they usually try to separate, you know, their physical body and their spiritual body. And it's like, no, you're one person. You have to use it all to help you out.
Yeah. And I think you made a really good point when you were 13 to 16, I think you were saying you saw, you know, many relatives at big get-togethers and thought, okay, there's a lot of health issues and I don't want that. And the honest truth is, when we don't sleep, when we don't exercise, when we don't make good choices long-term, right, in our food, we don't have the social connection, all of those hinder our brain, right? We're more likely for some of these things to get Alzheimer's or dementia. I mean, there's a lot of different reasons, but it's like, if we start educating more people now, which obviously you're trying to do, then hopefully we will make better choices and we won't be finding ourselves having early onset dementia, or because it doesn't only impact our lives, right? It impacts anybody around us that for whoever it is that has to care for us if our bodies or our minds don't work. And so it's actually a gift for everyone around us if we take care of ourselves.
Yes. And that is the sad part about my job, is to see people that, you know, were once vibrant and then, you know, they have a stroke and they can't even hardly get out and move and do things. I have a patient that's in his 40s. And, you know, he was like, oh, doc, I'll get around to that. Or just laugh when I tell him, you know, you have very bad diabetes. We don't want you eating the cake. We want you out of your room, you know, exercising. And unfortunately, he had to go through a open heart surgery and then did not even make it. Like, he didn't make it out the hospital. And it just broke my heart to see, because it was just like, he just thought, oh, I'm young, you know, I have time, I'll continue on. But then, to see now that his mom and his children, you know, who he left behind, of how they have to deal with that, you know, his daughters that don't have a father and mom that thinking, I never should have to bury a son. It's just hard to see. And so that's why I say I have to keep out here. I have to keep, you know, trying to educate people and just trying to encourage them to keep going, because like you said, it impacts more than yourself. It's just heartbreaking to see. And we can definitely make differences if we just, you know, continue to get this message out there for people.
Yeah. So I have two things that I was thinking about. One is, you just said that, and some people might think, oh, it's just so much. Like, I don't know where to start, even though you've given them, you know, places to start. But what would you just tell us about even small little changes, right? Even little tweaks to our movement, or, you know, taking a break every 50 minutes and just walking around your office, right? If you did that all day long, or if you just added extra fruit and vegetable every day. So what would you just tell people in case they're just thinking, it's just so much, it's daunting? What would you say to them about that?
It is. You choose one thing to change that you want to do. Like you said, if it's like, oh, I don't drink enough water, I'm going to add more water into my diet. Or if I sit all day, I'm just trying to crunch through, and you set a timer on your watch that says, you know, after, you know, 50 minutes, I have to get up and walk around. Like, that's a good thing about these trackers. You know, my Apple Watch will say, you know, time to stand up, things like that. If you do that and you make it a habit, your body, you'll actually start to crave that. You'll be like, oh, I've been sitting too long, I got to get up. Even before your watch tells you, when you're eating fruits and vegetables, like my sister even says, I crave a fruit salad now. You know, who craves a fruit salad? You know, just when you start to do that, you just have to, you know, find that little push every single day. If you have to, you know, set a timer to say, I have to do this every single day, until it's, you know, just automatic in your mind, you can do it. You don't have to change everything. And I don't recommend you change everything at one time, because it does get overwhelming. And then you're like, I'm not going to do anything. Mm-hmm. And so you can work with, you know, someone as an accountability partner to say, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I plan to do for the next few months. And just have someone that's there to, you know, give you that nudge. You know, sometimes it can be, you know, a harder nudge than others that you may need. But just to have someone there to help you to keep going, and you can do it. And it doesn't have to be overwhelming. And then if you do feel overwhelmed a day, just give yourself, again, grace. Nobody's going to be perfect. It's a journey. It's not a destination. You're always going to be making adjustments. So you can do it. If you have to come back and listen to this several times to hear me say, you can do it. Just keep going. And even with small changes, like you said, you can start to see those changes in your overall lifestyle, whether you're feeling more energetic, you're sleeping better, you're not having as many joint pains, and it'll be positive reinforcement for yourself.
Absolutely. So I noticed one thing when I was looking up, or where I was looking at the information for today, and when you were young, right, when you realized, like, I need to make some changes in my life, you had made a statement, and I just wanted to share that one statement and then ask you about it. So you had said that you felt lost, not just in your body, but in your mind and spirit. And obviously, some people, right, we get stuck in the mindset of, like, either I can't do this, or, you know, like, I don't know where to start. I feel overwhelmed. And so is there anything you just add to, you know, like, sometimes when we're physically not, you know, as well as we could be, you know, our mind is also impacted, right? Our spirit. But is there anything that you help people in that way or try to encourage them? You know, maybe some people need to start there with changing some things.
Yes. So that's when I go through the actual scriptures that I have. So your body is a temple. You should treat it as such, that we are all interconnected. We're all part of God's family. And, you know, each body part, we're like a body part. And that if you don't function, then I can't function. And so, again, that's why I like the Christian aspect, because you can actually go deeper. And people, when they feel that they have a sense of connection and a sense of purpose, mm-hmm. they're more likely to change than if they're like, oh, nobody needs me. You know, nobody notices I'm not there. But if I say, I need you, I cannot carry on life without you being there. And it's not so codependent that I can't function. But for us to live out, you know, all that we are and all that we need to be, we need that other person. We need that other Christ follower to kind of help and lead the way or come behind us and finish the work.
Yeah.
And so it just goes deeper. And like one of my favorite verses is, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. And so if I, you know, can help them and recite those verses and they meditate on those verses and they keep going, that can start to renew their mind. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's another one. You know, do not be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we have that, and they actually start to light up, like, okay, I can feel lighter. I can do this. You know, God has me here for a purpose. I need to be able to actually carry out my will. Mm-hmm. And, that's what keeps me going. Like, people ask me, you know, after decades, how are you able to continue to do this? And I was like, it's that constant meditation, constant talking to God. Like, oh, cause I was thinking, Lord, can I reschedule today? Yeah. I don't know. And it's like, no, you got to keep going. You made these commitments. I need you out here. Keep going. So again, it's not a destination. It's a journey. To keep going. And some days you may not feel like it, but if you have those anchor verses, scriptures that you have, it'll motivate you to keep going. Cause we have to have something deeper than ourselves to keep pushing.
Absolutely. That's right. You need the reason to get up every day. Right. Which is like the purpose. Yeah. And I think that's exactly, you know, you said it so well, which is basically, when we're our best, right? When we, our physical and mental states are the best that they could be, then we can show up and step into everything that God is calling us into, right? And that he has for us. Yeah. So not saying that he can't use us otherwise, but he can use us even more if we're in our healthiest place. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes.
I love it.
It's so much that we need to do. And, you know, you just look at this world and He needs us to be our healthiest. We're fighting, you know, not just a physical battle. We're fighting a spiritual battle. And if our body is not well, we cannot do the spiritual battle as well. So we got to keep going.
Yeah. And I love you say, or when you filled out the, you know, info, you had also said that, you know, by sharing a story and helping Christian women, you know, live their healthiest, happiest lives, that you're also in decreasing chronic disease, you're also helping them and future generations. And I thought, yes, like, because I don't think a lot of us think about that, right? That how we're showing up and doing the work to be healthy is actually fulfilling future generations and legacies, right? Like, because the longer we're here and can do the work, that we are really impacting, you know, the generations that come after us.
Yes. And I was thinking about that because I'm a mom now. My daughter is that she doesn't have to say, you know, I go to the doctor, oh, you know, my mom has high blood pressure, she has diabetes. Like, no, my mom's healthy. She's like 70 years old and doing great, you know. And so if she sees that, then she's going to, you know, filter that to her children and then their children. And it's just going to keep going on because we have to keep our children going. So, yeah, like you said, if we the more we can actually spread the word for future generations, it's just going to make, you know, that generation healthier and healthier and healthier, because we're now to where, you know, the generation is living less than the generation before them. So we got to definitely change that too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So is there anything else you want to share with us just about the diet and plant-based eating? Any data or information that you'd like to share? I know we didn't talk about that as much as you do sometimes.
Yeah. And I was like, I think more, it just the way the conversation flows, I am just out here trying to get people to eat more fruits and vegetables. So I leave every single talk I go to is eat a fruit and vegetable at every single meal. If we can do that, we're going to be so far ahead of the game for everyone, because most of us do not do that. And I say that, and I tell people again, I'm on this journey too. I say it every day, so I will continue to do that myself. Fruit and vegetable at each meal, you have so much fiber, so many nutrients in your meals. And when you're actually doing that, you actually are influencing others around you to do the same. They will be like, oh, what are you eating? And usually, you know, the healthier food, when it tastes good, goes first when you're at a gathering. So be that example for someone else, and it'll make a world of difference, not just for yourself, but for your family and for your social connections.
So good. Yeah. And I think, you know, we talked about it earlier, but it's if you can, like you said, find that purpose, find those anchor things that will really help you. So whether that's motivation to live your longest life for your family, you know, going and finding scripture to renew your mind. And then it's getting curious and starting to be creative. You know, when you go in the grocery store or asking people or go up to the chef at maybe one of the restaurants you go to and say, like, I don't really know what vegetables, like maybe this is what I like, and try something new there. Because sometimes, and I'm not saying they always make it the healthiest, but sometimes we can eat a vegetable out and you're like, this is delicious. And we can go home and make it similarly with maybe a little bit different ingredients. And so, you know, it's that getting creative and curious, yeah. I think is really important as well. And that then having true. Someone like yourself or, you know, accountability partner, but that they can learn from, get educated on, or of course there's a lot of, you know, online resources as well. So yeah, so good.
And I like to mention this since you brought that up, the recipes, that you can get recipes. I would usually say make it the same way the first time, and then that's when you can go in and make it your own, because that's when you can actually know the difference. And then, like I said, there's so many different chefs on, and so many more plant-based chefs that's out there that actually make it healthy that you have options of looking at. And there's a lot of people out there too that actually talk about, you know, faith and eating and the plant-based nutrition also. So you can definitely have all those resources out there. So. Yeah.
Yeah. So before we wrap up, I'll just have one more question because that made me think of it. So for the, you know, people listening that, you know, they're like, well, hold on, I still eat, you know, meat or that sort of thing. I know you don't personally, but I think you tell your clients, you're not saying, so what would you just tell us about that? About, you know, people that are saying, I'm not going to go full plant-based, but I understand the importance of eating more plants and vegetables and whole grains.
Yes. And that is the point. So the more you go from being a pure carnivore to actually only eating meat to actually adding in more plants. So as you move down the spectrum to 100% plant-based, even if you never get there, just moving in that direction, you actually get some health benefits. Okay. So that's why my message is always add in fruits and vegetables to every single meal, because the more you're on that side towards the plant-based eating, the more benefits you'll get. Now, some people, I tell them, you know, if they want, you know, all these changes, you got to go 100%. But even if you're like 75, 80, you're still going to see a lot of benefits with eating healthy, especially if you don't have any of the chronic illnesses yet. If you're still, you know, healthy and you just move that way, you're going to see benefits. Again, sleeping better, energy better, better mental clarity. You'll get all that just moving down the spectrum. It's not all or nothing that you'll get. So it is hope out there. Most of my clients still eat meat, but they're more like on the 80% plant-based side. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
it's not one and done. So don't get discouraged, guys. Right. You can do it.
Absolutely. I love it. Okay. So Dr. Amanda, tell us, how can people find out more about how you work with people and all of that good stuff online?
Yes. So you can go to my website at Dr. Amanda MD, DraManda.com. And you can book a free discovery call with me, find out information about the different cleanses that I run, or work with me one-on-one.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing so much health and or healthy lifestyle tips and information. It was really valuable.
Thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed talking with you today.
Thank you.
I just want to wrap up today's episode with a quote that I've shared before, maybe 6 months to a year ago, but I think it's so relevant to today's topic, our conversation. And it's this: when health is absent, wisdom cannot reveal itself, art cannot manifest, strength cannot fight, wealth becomes useless, and intelligence cannot be applied. And that was by Herophilus. And the honest truth is, health comes first. And I know there's another saying, I can't think of exactly how it goes, but it's basically, you're either going to spend the time and money and investment on your health and wellness now, or you're going to wait until you're sick and you're going to have to spend the time and money investment then with the risk of not getting better. And so, friends, I just encourage you, take one step after the other, add a little bit of color and fruits and vegetables to your plates, get creative and get curious, and go to God, ask for his help, renew your mind. And friends, we can all step into a healthier week and a healthier year and a healthier tomorrow. And thanks again for listening in. And if you enjoyed the show, we'd love it if you'd subscribe and leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. And you can check out freebies and resources we have for you at kristenfitch.com. And if you have ideas for the show or guests that you'd like to recommend, I'd love to hear from you. So DM me on Instagram at kristenfitch, or you can email me from the website. Thanks so much. Until next time, have a great week.